From the cross, Jesus looked down and he saw John and Mary. Mary is mother, John is beloved disciple. Remember what he said? Son, behold your mother. John, I want you to take care of my mother. I'm leaving. Mother, behold your son. I'm not leaving you alone. That same apostle who heard that from Christ penned these words in 1 John 3:11. He said, this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, John the Beloved, that you love one another. You've heard about the love of God to this point in the service. He loved you so much, he gave his son. The rest of the service is about one another growing in community and serving Christ and the world.
We've heard much in the last few weeks about our church's mission of developing ordinary people into fully devoted followers of Christ. And one way I've grown in community since we've been here is through our Just for Joy Ladies Bible Study. Last fall, we did a study from Philippians, and we talked about in that study of praying for one another. And we admitted to ourselves in that study that sometimes our prayers are kind of generic, shallow, surface. Like many times we pray, my three children have chicken pox, heal them. We need some extra money. We've had some financial losses. Or I have a problem with my coworker. Pray that they will be transferred or I'll be transferred. Instead of praying that the Lord would help me to teach my children how not to be selfish when they're sick, or to teach me to be patient with them and show the love and compassion of Christ, or simply, Lord, give me the grace to be a good steward of what you've given to me, instead of making an easy way out, or when there's a problem with a coworker, instead of wanting to be transferred, asking the Lord to help you to be light and salt in a very difficult situation. So many times we pray for escape from our problems, or we pray that instead of growth, that we will just have it easy. We pray for deliverance from those problems instead of to be able to deal with them in a way that would please the Lord. While we were doing that study of Philippians, we also looked at a passage from Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. And Paul said in that chapter, from the time I heard of you, I've not ceased to pray for you. And we need to do that for each other. And we need to pray in a way that is more than help mom cope today, but to help mom teach, or to help me to be light and salt. And Paul, in that scripture verses there, taught us to pray the word of God for each other. He said that you would be filled with the knowledge of his will. And there's a couple of things that we think of. It's God's will that I grow. It's God's will that I develop into the likeness of his son, that I glorify God through whatever trials come into my life, and that I bear fruit. And I can remember one particularly hard time that I right away did not pray that. When we heard that our daughter had lost the kidney that had been transplanted, I can remember so vividly saying, Lord, let it not be so. I didn't automatically say, Lord, give me grace to help her grow. Lord, give me grace to be a testimony and to be faithful to you. And then talked about, he says, that they might have endurance, that we might not just escape from it, but that we would walk through it, that we would have patience through it, patience to develop into what God wants us to be, and then that we would have joy, that it wouldn't be drudgery, that we wouldn't go through it with the long faces, that everybody knows we're having a rough time. And then he says last, that we give thanks through it, giving thanks to the Father who's given us an inheritance. It says, I think of the verse, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has in store for those who know him. So that inheritance that's coming to us is a great motivation to live in a way that pleases him here. So we need to grow in doing life together and in growing in how we pray for each other.
Let us pray. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Heavenly Father, this world, oh, so filled with the lost and lonely, contention and hatred. For we know, Father, that we are here at this time for your glory. And we do pray that you would open the eyes of our hearts and that we would see wonderful things in your word. That you would give us the strength and perseverance, Father, and the wisdom to seek your will first by going to your word. For you are the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And grateful are we, Father, that we have your word and the freedom in this nation to open it up and to discern your will. Give us the strength and perseverance, Father, to reach out to others in community, fellow believers, Father. Help us just shed the masks that we all wear and instead in authentic Christianity, Father, to reach out to one another, to bear one another burdens, Father. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. On behalf of the prayer team, thanks so much, Oakwood Church family, for supporting the Family MedPack Drive. Because of your generosity, we met our goal. Last Tuesday, 30 MedPacks were delivered to the VOM, Voice of the Martyrs headquarters, in Bartlesville, Oklahoma. They will in turn be shipping these packs to Iraq, Sudan, Nigeria, Syrian refugees, camps, and other areas as needed. We will also be able to send them a check for exactly $110.14, which was the remainder of the great generous gifts that you gave. As I read the December 2016 issue of the Voice of the Martyrs newsletter, I was especially moved by the article, Living as Sheep Among Wolves. This is the story of Abu Ali and his family of eight, the recipients of a MedPack. In 2014, they were forced to flee their home in Mosul, Iraq, as ISIS had just overrun the city. As they drove away, he noticed in his rearview window, ISIS fighters were entering their home carrying swords and knives. Abu is quite certain if they had delayed their departure even 15 minutes, all of them would have been killed. They had very little money, very few personal possessions, no place to live. Eventually, they found a refuge camp of about 6,000 Muslims, Abu and his family, the only Christians. They face persecution on a regular basis. The shop in the camp refuses to sell them food. The guards harass them and confiscate their Bibles. Their 8-year-old son Bashir is bullied by other children beating him and verbally abusing him. Harsh treatment, however, has not stopped them from sharing the gospel with others living in this tent city. In the past 2 years, Abu has led 4 people to Christ. One convert is 34-year-old Ferris. He and his brothers also had to flee Mosul because ISIS was trying to recruit them. Shortly after Ferris accepted Christ as his personal savior, he was beaten unconscious, suffered several broken ribs, unable to walk for several weeks. A militia leader has promised to pay $20,000 to anyone who will bring Ferris out of the camp so they can kill him. Abu told Voice of the Martyrs, "The best time for me is talking to Ferris and discussing who Jesus is and his miracles and his salvation." Ferris told Voice of the Martyrs, "I think about how my life before I was born again was a mess. My life really started after I met Abu and he introduced me to Christ. Now, my biggest grief is the people around us who have no life because they don't know Jesus. Thanks again for serving the world and the church, our brothers and sisters in Christ in other parts of the world." This morning, we also have updates from two missionary families supported by Oakwood, Jerry and Mildred Peterson, who serve with Bible Basics International, and Nick and Sophia Otis, who serve with Crew in New York, New York. You will also be given information about the future opportunity to serve in the Czech Republic. Thank you.
August 2015, Togo. I was part of a team sent by Bible Basics International to help with the construction of the Tower for Hope Radio. This was the first step in establishing the ministry that would broadcast the gospel to a largely unevangelized area of northern Togo. What has been happening since then? To run a radio station, you need a lot of equipment. So Bible Basics International ordered the equipment, and I set about configuring the computers and the automation system, as well as prepping the control consoles. When everything was prepped and ready to go, I set about packing and getting everything loaded in the container. Then this bad boy showed up to load our shipping container onto the truck. From there, it was off to the port, onto the ship, and off on an 11-week pleasure cruise to the port of Lomé in Togo. Meanwhile, back in Togo, there was a lot of activity as well. Construction began on two of the buildings needed for Hope Radio. Hope Radio will be powered by a combination of solar power and a backup generator. So the first construction was for the generator and the shop. Shortly after that, the radio building itself was started. This is where the studios and production facilities will be. There will also be other facilities in this building for teaching and training nationals to work with new believers in other villages. I hope to be able to travel to Togo in March, perhaps late March, to lend a hand with setting up the studios, making sure the tower is straight, directing the installation of the antennas, and setting up the transmitter. And also to be part of the dedication for the radio ministry and for the farming ministry that they are using to teach the people of Togo better farming methods. Bible Basics would like me to make one or two follow-up visits to Hope Radio later in the year to help with installation of the solar power equipment. And Mildred and I hope to be able to make a short trip to Honduras this summer to participate in a Bible Basics Star Team medical evangelism trip. So this may turn out to be a very busy year as I continue producing the verse-by-verse radio program aired here in the Tampa Bay area and other locations. If you'd like to get occasional email updates or even become part of our support team, let us know by emailing us at peterson@biblebasics.org. We'll be right back.
they are hungry, they are thirsty for something that is long-lasting. And I believe as a Christian, I was once in the world, and I believe as a Christian, I came to the knowledge of not what the society has been giving me before, but to the knowledge of Christ as a solution that is long-lasting. Doesn't mean I won't go through the hardship that regular people need to go through.
Yeah.
But what it means for me is that whatever I go through, God is there with me. Jesus is there with me, walking with me every second. And I really do believe that. Mainly to tell them about the gospel and really let go of the outcome in terms of will they change or will they not change? Will they come to accept Christ or will they not to accept Christ? So I think our purpose is just to share the gospel with them in love, share the whole story of the gospel, what Jesus did for us, who we were before, and who we are right now. I strongly believe that God wants this school to come to know Him. Come to know Him, not just as a God, but as a Father.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I'm Larissa, and I'm a member here at Oakwood, and I attend with my two kids, Emilio and Nadia, who are 14 and 12. I'm very happy to give a brief update announcement regarding Oakwood's continued support and partnership with our sister church in Brno, Czech Republic. Can you believe Oakwood has been prayerfully sending people to the Czech Republic to help our brothers and sisters in Christ at this wonderful church, share the gospel of Jesus to unreached Czech people for close to two decades? This year will be our 18th trip. And we have witnessed God's faithfulness in growing His church in a region that is largely atheist and secular-minded. And we see each year how God uses each one of us here in the congregation, whether it be through attending the church-sponsored English camps or the other community activities, continually drawing the unreached to the body of Christ, or through prayer and financial support back here in Tampa for the folks who volunteer to go each summer. The responses to God's call have eternal impact. Now, I'm not going to steal Laverne's thunder and reveal any more details about the background of this mission or the details of this year's trip and the personal testimonies of God's continued faithfulness, but please attend today's Czech team interest meeting after the service right here in the sanctuary, and any questions you have will be answered there. But before I go, I just wanted to tell you that I have been personally twice to the Czech Republic to serve within Oakwood's mission there, and the last time I took my kids. There they are. That was 2015. And there was a lot to be worried about. I mean, frankly, single parent, single income, unexpected financial stress, getting the passports ready to go. But it ended up that we didn't have to worry about anything because God provided for me and my family in ways that only He could. So if you are feeling that little tug from the Holy Spirit, just let me reassure you that if you respond to the call, God will provide and He'll bless you in ways that only He can do. So this is the great calling we have in our lives, and hope to see you after church today. Thank you.
Let's pray for our serve the world aspect here at Oakwood. I'm so grateful for a lot of things that I've been blessed to see. in the lives of people who have gone and in the lives of the people that I've been able to see as I've gone. Thank you today that we've had the opportunity to bless in a way that I never would have imagined by sending medical packs to a brother and a sister or to brothers and sisters in parts of the world that I will never get to, potentially. But when we get to heaven, God, we'll be able to rejoice together. And looking forward to that. So thank you that we had the privilege to do that. Thank you that we have the privilege to reach Muslims in a difficult part of the world in Togo through radio. I pray that you would continue to sustain those that are building that station. And Father, you would protect them for sure, and that your glorious gospel will be able to be proclaimed there. Thank you that we also get to speak to the world through Nick and Sophia and the students that they're having impact with in New York. Young men and women who are coming from all over, and can't even imagine how creative you're going to be in using these young people to reach their countries, their cities, their family and friends with the gospel. Thank you for that. Thank you that, God, you have sustained us for 17 years, and as you allow this 18th trip to the Czech Republic, that, God, we would continue to be faithful in serving those folks and working in partnership to see more of the folks in Brno come to know you and grow and become disciples and even better disciple makers. I'm also grateful that you continue to want to challenge us to be creative in our thought of how we can become disciple makers around the world. May we listen carefully and joyfully obey. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Dave. You're welcome. Thank you, Dave. So what we're going to do now is we're going to spend the next 10 minutes or so praying about God's provision for us and calling our next servant leader to serve as our lead pastor here. Larry is doing a phenomenal job in serving us during this interim period, and a big part of that interim process is kind of what has led us to this point, which is about, Lord willing, a month away from going public with posting the position here for lead pastor. And we're very excited about all that God has done through this process. So my name's Rob. I'm on the transition team. And I'm going to give you a brief update of what the transition team has been up to so that we can better pray for what God's doing. This is a very brief summary. You're actually going to have a chance for more robust updates next Sunday and the following Sunday. So this is high-level, kind of 30,000-foot view. The first major thing I would update you on is kind of a process that we've gone through to identify three key areas at Oakwood that could really be strengthened. And so here's kind of how I'm going to phrase these three areas. The first is what we would call strengthening our structures. But maybe better said, we have looked at how to strengthen the roles that we all play within the body. And that should sound familiar because Larry's just kind of taught through a series on that. But we identified that as an area where we can really grow is in our understanding of what it means to be a member, to be a deacon, to be an elder, and how by God's design we all fit together for His glory in the local church. The second thing that we really believe we can strengthen for God's glory is to strengthen our ability to develop leaders within the church. You even just heard Dave mention in a prayer for the Czech Republic, a prayer for disciples and disciple makers. And if you look at the New Testament, you see that that really is the model that Jesus practiced both in word and in deed. It's a process called discipleship or multiplication. But this idea that we're constantly raising and training and developing and investing in people who then kind of can replace themselves and can kind of grow. And so that's something that we've identified, and we are working on growing in our ability to be a church that multiplies. We think a healthy church is a church that multiplies its leaders, and we want to be a lot more about that in the future. The third and final thing that we've identified as an area that, by God's grace, we really desire to see strength is kind of what happens here on Sunday mornings. I mean, we think that our corporate worship experience is great, but we also feel from talking to lots of folks and just from kind of looking at this deeply that we can do even better on Sunday mornings in our worship experience. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And so we really desire that on Sunday mornings here in this place, that really primarily God's word and the power of the gospel would have a transformative experience in our lives, would really change us from the inside out. And we want to see that happen in our whole body, in the life of our whole church. But particularly on Sunday mornings, we desire to see God just bring even more transformation through the word and through the gospel. So those are the three areas that we really want to submit to the Lord and are pursuing ways to grow in. And now the next kind of major thing that we're going to do is, like I said, in March, we are, Lord willing, planning on going public with the fact that we are looking at candidates and we are have an open position that we call lead pastor. And so what the transition team has been doing is putting together profiles, and these are things that are basically going to kind of just give candidates a flavor of what we're about here. And so there's a community profile, which is just kind of like, hey, this is Tampa, this is the neighborhood, this is the area. There's a church profile, here's what we look like, here's kind of what we're like, and there's a pastor profile. The pastor profile is kind of a portrait of, after much prayer and you know, kind of discerning these things together, we believe that like this profile reflects the kind of servant leader that would serve us well, that we think God has next for us. And so we're going to post those things on a variety of different mediums, and then people will be able to apply for this position. But as I say that, I did want to kind of close my little time, and as we head into prayer for our next servant leader, with a kind of a critical thing to keep in mind. You know, we're using words like apply and candidate and position, things like that. But here's the way that, Jesus did it, and here's the way that we want to do it. In Luke chapter 6, verses 12 through 15, in fact, I'll just read verses 12 and 13. It says, "In these days he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God." Now, you guys are probably familiar with that idea. You know, there's multiple times in the Gospels where we see Jesus sneaking away and having long amounts of time alone with the Father. But here's something that I didn't catch until recently. Verse 13, "And when day came, he called his disciples, and he chose from them 12. And then it goes on to name the 12 that he chose. And so Jesus went away multiple times to be with the Father like that. But how much of an example to us that one of those times was before he called the 12 people that he would call apostles, that he would use to kind of turn the world upside down. And so if Jesus, who was God himself, submitted himself to the Father to say, "Whom are you calling to play these roles?" How much more so should we view this as a calling? And so, like I said, we're going to use words like resumes and candidates and job descriptions and postings and things like that. But really, we are seeking to find out who God is calling. And we want the person that God is calling. We're not hiring someone. We're just going to be affirming a calling that God has placed on a man's heart. And so with that being said, I want to invite our three prayers to come on up, and we're going to lift this up to the Lord. Thanks.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come today together and praise you as the creator of all things. You are perfect in every way, Lord, holy and eternal. We are sinful, and yet you have compassion for us. You provide for us. You love us. And most important of all, you forgive us. We have not earned or deserved your grace. We can only thank you for the gift of eternal life that you have provided through your Son, Jesus Christ. We also thank you for your church here on earth, and we thank you especially for Oakwood Community Church. Thank you for providing us a place to come and praise your name together. Lord, you know our needs here at Oakwood. You knew them before we even existed. And all of us here today know you have a plan for Oakwood, Lord. Your plan for us is no different than it has ever been. With you, Lord, we are confident and ready to move ahead with your plan. Our transition team has worked diligently and faithfully to develop the new pastor profile. That was no easy task, and we thank you all for their hard work. Today we lift up the search team. Theirs is the next big hurdle. We ask that they be given the strength to continue this process. We ask that they be given the insight to match their methods with the needs expressed in the profile. We ask that they be given the willingness to seek after the right man, no matter where that search leads. We have faith that you will send us the right man for the job, Lord. We ask that the search team recognize him when he shows up. Thank you, Lord, for all your many blessings in our lives as we continue to pray.
Lord, we praise you as our faithful God. Thank you for the ways you've walked with us through the good times as well as the difficulties. Thank you for bringing Larry and Elaine here to lead us through this transition time. We are so grateful for their wisdom, their humility, and their love. And as we look ahead to our future here at Oakwood, we want to pray for our next servant leader. Lord, we pray for his heart, his relationship with you, that seeking your face would be his top priority. We ask that your spirit would strengthen him in his inner being so that Christ may dwell in his heart by faith. Speak to him with clarity through his times of Bible study and prayer. Give him a longing to talk with you and to hear your voice. Help him to be sensitive to your spirit's leading. May he live by your spirit, keep in step with your spirit, and exhibit the fruit of your spirit in his life. Help him to resist the temptation to rely on his own strength, his own understanding, and instead acknowledge you in all he does, trusting you to make his path straight. Lord, we believe that you have already been at work in his heart and life up until this point, preparing him to serve here. Continue to give him a vision for his future. Help him to know that your plans for him are plans for good and not for harm, to give him a future and a hope. Enable him to clearly hear your call on his life. Enable him to walk worthy of that calling, putting off the old self, putting on the new, continuing to grow in Christ's likeness each day. Give him confidence in the gifts and abilities you've given him. Help him to see that Oakwood and living in the Tampa Bay area would be just the right fit for him and his family. Assure him that he is your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which you have prepared in advance for him to do. Lord, we also pray for his relationships, especially those with his immediate family and also with his extended family, friends, and church. Give him unity with those that he loves and use them to guide, encourage, and comfort him during this time of transition. Protect our future pastor, Lord. Protect his heart, his mind, his soul, and his body. Strike down any discouragement that might threaten to defeat him. Help him to keep his focus on you, taking every thought captive and making it obedient to Christ. Give him wisdom that will help him to walk securely. Be his fortress, his shield, his stronghold. Save him from any plans of the enemy that might hinder your work in his life. Preserve him at all times. May he look to you in faith to overcome any obstacles that he faces. We look forward to meeting him and rejoicing over the ways you have cared for him during these months prior to his arrival. Father, bless him and keep him. Make your face shine upon him and be gracious to him. Turn your face toward him and give him peace. We agree together as a congregation, asking these things in the name of our Savior Jesus.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you as a congregation. We know that you are in our midst. We know that you love us. We know that you have a plan for our lives. Lord, we thank you for bringing us all together here to worship you and to call upon your name. And we know that when we call upon your name, Lord, you will answer. As a congregation, Lord, we look forward to the leader that you have set apart for us to lead us, to help us grow in our faith, to help us deal with one another, to help us go out to the community and serve and show who you are and show the love that you've shown to us, to them as well. Lord, I pray as a congregation, Lord, that we will be able to set our personal differences aside and come together as a congregation, come together as the people that you've called to serve in this community and embrace the leader that you've called for us, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you help us to love him. You help us to show him the the respect and love and commitment in serving this community and in other parts of the world, Lord. We look forward to see the leader that you've set apart for us. Lord, we pray, Lord, that we will accept him. We will pray for him. We will continue to seek your will for him, Lord. And as a congregation, we pray, Lord, that our personal differences and our personal wants and needs will be set aside so we can focus on what you want for our lives, what you want for this congregation. Lord, I pray that you help us to be there as a cohesive unit and show that love that Christ showed to us, to the new leader. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.